I am still living with your ghost.
Remember this song?
I do. I enjoy this song a lot.
He's from the West Coast.
Yeah.
Art Alexakis, Songs and Stories, going on tonight at City Winery, 1200 West Randolph Street in Chicago. One of my favorite venues. It's intimate. They have their own wine that they make there that is mm-hmm. really good. Mm-hmm. And it's a great place to see someone. Art is doing kind of a solo thing, Songs and Stories. He's had a pretty tumultuous life, to say the
That's
least.
That's an understatement. He's had a lot of, I mean, certainly a lot of good things happen, but not all good things happen.
Although, don't bad things make good things come?
Well,
isn't that a song?
Yeah.
Someday
I think
Mama.
It is, actually, yeah. I think it is.
I can't think of it right now.
Later.
But you and I were talking about this. Some tragic things in life can either make you or break you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a list of things that are supposed to be one of the most stress-filled moments of a person's life.
Yeah.
Like having a baby.
Switching jobs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Getting married.
A loved one die.
Oh, yeah.
That would be awful, right?
In 1997, when you and I worked at Q101 radio station, which is the first time we interviewed Art Alexakis,
mm-hmm.
we were so alternative.
We were, yeah. And you were a lot younger. I'm the exact same age, but you were much younger then.
I had bigger hair.
Yes.
I really did.
I couldn't see the producer. Knew he was back behind your hair, but I couldn't see him.
1997, we did morning radio, which was tough in itself, getting up at 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1 year's time, I figured this out. I got married.
Yeah.
A month later, my mom died.
Yeah.
A few weeks after that, we got fired.
Yeah.
Bought a house.
Uh-huh.
And got pregnant.
All
in 1 year,
a span of
1997.
That's a big year. That's a lot of stuff going on at one time.
So I feel if I can make it through all that stuff in 1 year,
yeah,
I'm good to go.
The rest is easy, isn't
yeah.
it? The rest is easy.
Because
yeah.
those are like monumental things to make or break you, and
sure.
they all happened in the span of 1997.
Yeah. But then, you know, you have some years where you just go, I don't think anything really major happened that year. Why couldn't that year have been spread out a little bit more, you know?
And Art Alexakis, some of these stories he's going to talk about are not pleasant. His brother died when he was 12 years old.
Yeah.
Heroin overdose.
Yeah.
And that kind of pushed him into drugs on his own. And then somewhere along the line, I guess he attempted suicide and was not successful, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled himself together, and the band Everclear came along. Then he suffered some other things like a divorce. A lot of things can change you, and that's what I guess is going on tonight, Songs and Stories. And we would ask Art Alexakis about that if he was here.
We're being told from reliable sources that he is just moments away. You know, after Lauryn Hill's story, she shows up 2 hours late to a job. Everybody else, if you're in under an hour, that's fine, I guess. So he'll be here.
Or on Ro's show.
Right. Yeah, because we run out. We only have 20 more minutes. So we're going to do our best to get him on. But he's running just a little bit late.
And then
they say rock star parking. He's a rock star. Isn't he allowed to park right in front and say rock star parking? Look, I'm a rock star.
I think he was walking. Either that or, as you pointed out, he might be coming down Michigan Avenue on a divvy bike.
Yeah, that's possible. I don't know.
I hope it's not on the sidewalk.
We'll see. Now, one of the things we want to ask him, we were getting at this earlier, as to whether or not his band Everclear constitutes a grunge band or not.
Yeah, I don't think so. We were talking about him. Art has entered the studio. Art
Alexakis.
We were just telling your whole life story without you, so we're glad that you...
Sorry about me.
Have a seat, yeah.
I'd love to hear it.
All right, well, we'll sit down.
It's a regular Tuesday segment, Art. Every Tuesday we do this, and you happen to be here. How are you? You look great. You do.
We were talking about this. Bill and I worked together at Q101 a million years ago, interviewed you there, and now we're not working at an alternative rock station.
What alternative rock stations?
That's the problem.
Really?
They're gone.
And we're older, all of us now, and we were talking a little about your Songs and Stories that's going on tonight at City Winery. It's mm-hmm. a great venue. A lot of stories and a lot of bad things can inspire you to do good things.
Well, you know, I mean, that's kind of been the MO of my life, but really from what I've seen, and you know, we're all middle age.
I know, I hate to say that.
You know, I don't. I did for a while, and now I'm just embracing it because let's face it, middle age on us looks better than it did for our parents.
Doesn't it?
Man, do you remember when you'd look at someone who's 30 when you're like 20 and like, they look old.
Yeah.
And they really did look old when you look back at the pictures. I remember I looked at, like, I'm a big baseball fan, and if you've ever seen those, like the Ken Burns documentary on baseball, it shows these guys like Ty Cobb and these other guys, like when they're 28, and they look like they're 60.
Totally.
Like hard road 60. Like, you know,
and they were athletes. They were guys in their prime.
Yeah, but these guys had kegs and smoking
and
cigars and cigarettes in the dugout.
That those were the days.
Those were the days. That's kind of gangster. I'm sitting here clucking my tongue and shaking my head, but I'm also going, that's awesome. But what I was going to say is like, yeah, you know, if you're going to live life and you're going to take bites out of life, you're going to take some bad bites. Sometimes not meaning to, sometimes out of choice. Sometimes you go, wow, this is the wrong thing to do and this is the right thing to do, but I really want to do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And you do it.
Yeah.
And you get your butt kicked.
And hopefully you survive that wrong thing.
Well, that's where the stories come from getting back up again. And for me, that's exactly what it's been. And I'm very proud of it because I'm at a place where I didn't necessarily envision myself being, but I love where I'm at. I love my family.
That's
my priorities.
Awesome.
Your priorities change too. It's not all about you. It is all about me because I want me to be happy. But what makes me happy really is just like I got love. I got the ability to work and make music. I make a living, a decent living.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not rich, but I make a decent living making music.
And music
I'm kind of winning, right?
You're totally winning.
You guys are winning.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not pushing papers in an office.
Right.
This is pretty flossy.
This
you got going
bad.
On here.
This is not bad.
Nah,
absolutely.
It could be a lot worse.
Oh, way worse.
You know, we were talking before you came about grunge music, and it bothers me to say Everclear was grunge music because, in my opinion, you got your Nirvana, you got your Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
To me, Everclear was not grunge, and we wanted to have your take on it.
I, to be honest with you, with most of the people that were in part of the grunge movement, grunge was not a thing to anybody except publicists.
I guess just a label
no
for them to say.
No bands walked around saying, hey, we're kind of grunge. That was after the fact. That was after, like, the Nirvanas and even before the Green River and, you know, and all the bands that they turned into, and the Melvins were around forever and ever. And that all like congealed to make Nirvana. And then this little, you know, white trash kid from Bellingham who put the Beatles and all this stuff together just kind of blew Seattle in half.
Yeah, I bet.
They didn't expect him and they didn't really like him.
But
because he was good.
Yeah.
Couldn't you kind of say that about alternative music as well? Because when alternative music was at its peak, it was really top 40. It was the thing that was rebelling against. We were at an alternative station, but our playlist was the top 40. It wasn't alternative.
Well, that happens to everything. That happened to punk rock. It turned into new wave. It turned into postmodern.
Yeah.
And same thing with hip hop. Hip hop, when it first came out, was scary and bold, and then it turned into Chingy and Cisco, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's whenever the 1% gets their hands on it, goes, oh, we can make money off this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find these poor kids who are all angry and full of angst and keep them that way by taking all their money.
Right.
And they'll keep producing for us.
Right.
Woo!
Right.
You know, I mean, but as far as the grunge thing goes, you know, I mean, I moved to Portland, Oregon, because my girlfriend was from Portland, Oregon. She was living with me in San Francisco, but she got pregnant. And we decided we wanted to have the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved up there, and I was a pretty angry dude. You know what I mean?
How old at this point was I? Yeah.
30. So I moved up like about 6 months before I turned 30. My daughter was born a little over 2 months after I turned 30. And I totally got Peter Pan syndrome. So 30 for me, I'm a late bloomer for sure. But I, you know, we got there and I thought it was going to be a cool town. They hated me there because I was from California.
Really?
And, yeah. And, you know, The local bands wouldn't give me gigs. The people that were that booking the clubs loved my tape, which my demo tape, which I made for $400 because I didn't have any money and I was digging a ditch, literally digging out a garden for a friend of my my wife at the time or girlfriend at the time. You know, she's like, "You make $200, go do this," and I'm digging out a ditch and I see these musician or kind of musician looking guys walking in the yard next door into a basement. I'm like, wow, they're either musicians or that's a drug deal. Yeah, either way, I want to go check that out.
They have going down.
Yeah, I want to go check it. And I talked to the guy and he recognized me because we were starting to make waves, but not really. And he showed me his little basement studio.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, man, this is awesome. He goes, yeah, it's $10 an hour. And I'm like, would you take a trade? Like, I got this rack of two digital effects. It's like, yeah, I'll give you $400 in trade for it. That's 40 hours. I go, I can make an album.
Nice.
We got 12 songs. Made it.
Nice.
And it was a demo. You know, it was every song I had because I wasn't sure if this band was going to happen.
Yeah.
When we recorded it, it was like, it was there. And that became our first album, World of Noise.
That is one of the best albums. I've loved a lot of your stuff. I like the jangly sound to it. It's jangly. It's fresh.
It's distorted.
But there's meaning to it. Father of Mine, a great song. Is that going to be talked about in your songs and stories tonight at City Winery?
That album, that's our third album, So Much for the Afterglow, which is the 20th anniversary to date all of us, is coming out next year.
Awesome.
That's impossible to realize that was 20 years ago.
I'm pushing past middle age.
It doesn't make sense.
Where does middle age end?
We
correct
just
answer is where you want it to end. Right.
What did we just do that study where if you ask someone what middle age was, what did they say?
The most common answer now is 65 years old, which is true. If you're going to live to 130, 65 is middle age, but realistically, it should be 40 because the life expectancy of most of us is 81 or 82.
So we're in our twilight years? That sucks.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Getting old.
You know what? Call it what it is, man. I work out. I eat pretty much what I want to eat. I look pretty
good
for my age.
Yeah.
My wife is 20 years younger and smarter than me.
Score.
That's not bad.
Score.
And how old's your kid?
I have two kids. One's going to be 24 in June, and one's 8. Two daughters.
That's about right. Every 16 years.
For a guy like me, yeah. Yeah, I could totally pull like an Anthony Quinn and have one when I'm like 70, 75.
Randall still has kids.
Yeah,
he's dead.
Been dead for 15 years, he still has
kids.
Well,
he shouldn't have children anyway at any age, but yeah. No, I'm taking care of that this year.
Good.
Should have been done a long time ago, actually. But, you know.
Get the frozen peas.
Yeah, that's what they say.
It conforms a little more than an ice bag.
I've been through a lot worse. I've been shot. I've been stabbed. I'm okay.
You
I got
have
tattoos
been.
All over my body. I can take a little bit of that.
And that's what this whole grunge thing started, because somebody at Newsweek.com, the most bewildering rock star cameo would be for grunge era rock star Art Alexakis in the movie Wild.
Okay, I don't know why that's the most confusing, considering it was shot in Portland, and I'm covered in tattoos.
But I saw it, Art, and didn't realize it was you until today. I saw the movie and loved the movie. It's Reese Witherspoon.
Excuse me. Acting?
I know you were acting. I know you were acting. But I didn't. I had no idea.
I put
it was
a
you.
Totally North Portland accent. No, I mean, you know. Well, the thing is, I know Cheryl Strayed, the woman who wrote Wild, who's phenomenal. I know her husband really well. And when they were reading through the script with Reese, she goes, "I know someone who'd be great for this role, but this role originally was a woman with bleach blonde hair." And they're like, "Oh, we could turn it. This is the magic of movies.
Yeah,
we can turn that into a guy, no problem."
Sure.
And they wrote me this part with all these, like, I had to audition for Reese, and I had to audition for I did three auditions. Oh, for the director, Jean-Marc Vallée, who was coming off Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh, yeah.
I had to audition for him, and I had to audition for other people. No one just gave it to me. It was like a little nepotism getting my name in the door. And then I got it. And they, when they first gave me the script, they gave me, it was like 4 or 5 pages. And I'm doing this huge, like, didactic monologue of just like, you know, where I'm the wizened old sage. Like, you're really going to listen to a middle-aged man covered in tattoos, and he's going to tell you what life's all about. It was just stupid, like, you know, screenwriter 101 writing. And I learned it all. I nailed it. I got it all down. And I kept asking them through my management, through me, is there any changes on the script? Because I haven't seen any changes in a while. Nope. We're good. We're good. We get down there in the tattoo parlor, right? And I'm like minutes away. And the script gal is going around going, oh, you got the pink script? Oh, no, you got the green script? No, you need the pink script.
Oops.
They changed
oh, no.
all but two of my
oh,
lines.
Great.
They got rid of a lot, which I have no problem with.
Yeah.
Because they didn't end up cutting anything.
Right.
I mean, that's how Jean-Marc works. But I'm like, all the lines that they're going to say that cue me are gone.
Oh, no.
They
yeah.
changed the jump off lines. So I'm like, holy, I'm trying to read through it. And ought. You know, I can't even do his accent. He's French Canadian.
Can you hold your thought? We have to take a quick break.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. No. We want to talk more. You were a little late. We have another show coming up at 3 o'clock that we want to get a song in at least. So can we take a quick break sure. and come back? Okay. Art Alexakis, didn't mean to cut you off. Songs and Stories tonight, City Winery, 1200 West Randolph. Tickets still available. You can go to citywinery.com. Back in a moment. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. All right, it's Bill and Wendy here with Art Alexakis. He was so rudely interrupted by moi.
Yep.
We were talking about the movie you were in with Reese Witherspoon, Wild, and well, they changed your script, basically.
Well, anyway, they changed my script, and then the director just goes, okay, we're going to take a take. And so he takes a take. And, you know, Tommy Sadowski, who's a great actor, has become a really great friend of mine. Him and Reese Witherspoon are on either side of this table talking to me, and they're telling me this horrible story of their breakup and these breakup tattoos. And they changed my lines, and they changed their lines. So they would say their line, and instead of me reacting to it, I just kind of stare at him and go, wow, that's Reese Witherspoon. Wow, she's really small. She's really small. The camera really does add 10 pounds. You know, and she's just like, Art, your name's Art, right? That's your cue. And I'm like,
oh, no.
And I got yelled at by the
oh,
director.
No.
And I'm like,
did you do a real tattoo at least?
No.
Oh.
Oh, not at all. I have no idea how to do it. I was yelled at by the tattoo person. He didn't yell at me. He was awesome. But he's like, oh, you got to keep it up. It doesn't look real. I'm like, no one's going to pay attention.
Right.
Dude, I'm sorry to tell you, but no one's going to be looking at my tattoo gun. They're going to be looking at me.
Sure.
And Reese Witherspoon.
Probably.
Anyway, so that's the end of that lame story.
All right, he's Art Alexakis, and he is in action tonight. Songs and Stories at City Winery. And what are you going to do for us here?
Tune my guitar. There we go. I'm going to do an old song that you like a lot. This is called I Will Buy You a New Life. Now, which mic am I singing into?
The smaller of the two.
This
guy? Sure, yeah.
All right, well, good luck. Here we go. And by the way, I play this song and tell a really good story about being on welfare. So if you really want to hear that story, you got to come to the show tonight. Here's the money that I owe you. Yes, so you can pay the bills. I'll give you some more when I get paid again. I hate those people who love to tell you money is the root of all the cares. They have never been poor, never known the joy of a welfare Christmas. Yeah, I know we will never look back. Yeah, so wake up crying and you don't know why. You get up and you go lay down inside my baby's room. Oh, yeah, guess I'm doing okay. Moved inside the angel's sky. Can you believe he actually thinks
that I'm really alive. I will buy you a garden where your flowers can bloom. I will buy you a new car, perfect, shiny, and new. I will buy you that big house way up in the West Hills. I will buy you a new life. Oh, yes, I will. I know all about that other guy, Hampton man with athletic thighs. I know all about the time before that obsessive little rich boy. They might make you think you're happy, yeah, maybe for a minute or two. They can't make you laugh, but can't make you feel the way that I do. I will buy you a garden where your flowers can bloom. I will buy you a new car, perfect, shiny, new. I will buy you that big house way up in the West Hills. I will buy you a new life. I will buy you a new life.
That's beautiful. That's so beautiful.
That is so amazing. Thank you so much.
Sorry, my guitar was out of tune.
Come on.
Man, it was great talking with
you. Are you kidding? Anytime.
We could talk about pseudo middle age forever.
Well, come back and see us sometime and get here on time so we have more time to talk. Will you do that?
No, absolutely. And thank you guys for supporting us all these years.
Thrilled, Stu Art. You sound great. You really
Art
did.
Alex Sakis, musician, wonderfully cool middle aged guy. Can we say that?
Husband, dad.
Look at
soon to be author.
Look at that.
Music, song, life coach. I do a lot of stuff.
Life coach.
Yeah.
Awesome. You're coaching your own self pretty well. Citywinery.com.
Well, yeah.
And if my son didn't have a Madrigal concert tonight, I would be out there to see a City Winery tonight. Art Alexakis, thank you so much.
Thank you.
A quick break. We'll find out what's coming up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.